Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And also, I have the privilege of being the pastor of New Vision for Life Ministries. I thank God for another day, another opportunity in which I can say good morning to you and spend this hour with you. It's another beautiful, beautiful day. And I must say, in case we hear any noise in the background, I am on the road again, praise be unto God. But this time, I'm able to speak with you while we're driving. So good morning to you. And, of course, I want to say good morning to my beloved co-host. You know, she's my spiritual daughter. She's my armor bearer, my sidekick. She's loyal, wonderful, trustworthy. And I'm going to use this terminology that I don't normally use when I speak about her. She's a good friend. And I don't normally say that because we'll explain that more when we talk today, why I don't use that term, why we don't use that term with one another. But anyway, I want to say good morning to my co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
Good morning, beautiful. I am well. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And yourself, I heard you just say that you on the road, so.
Yes. I am taking a trip to Wildwood, New Jersey this morning. And so that's where I will be for the day. And,
okay.
But I definitely wanted, you know, to since I know I'm going to be, you know, in the car, I could still talk with y'all this morning. So here I am.
Yeah.
Awesome, amen, awesome. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Excuse me. I want to say good morning to Tamika. Good morning, my love. Good morning. Good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. Good morning to Deacon Banks. Good morning to Rob. Good morning to Isaiah in Chicago and in Pennsylvania. Good morning to Denise. Good morning, the prophetess. Kim, God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. Good morning to all of the New Vision members that join us on the show. Good morning. I don't know if I said Joyce in New York, but good morning to Joyce in New York. And, of course, Deacon Thomas Farr, who has his own show, Issues, Christian Men Talk. So good morning to him as well. And it's just another wonderful, beautiful, blessed day. And I am, again, so glad to be with you. Y'all don't know how much I miss you when I'm not here on the air with you. But, again, remember when I talked about loyalty, that woman of God that I started to say is sitting next to me because I feel like she's sitting next to me. The woman of God, Minister Tabika Garnes, I know she carried things well. And all was well, but it's good to be back with you this morning. In your hands, beloved.
Amen, amen. Well, I just want to say safe travels, that you'll reach your destination safely and that you'll find some shade, you know. No, don't be sitting out in the sun for long periods of time.
Right.
So find some shade and make sure you drink an ample amount of water.
Yes, ma'am. Shall do. Shall do,
amen.
I tell you. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, my
All right.
Goodness.
Well, I want to say good morning to everyone. Good morning to everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on another Saturday. I don't know about you guys, but I wanted to stay in the bed. I did not want to get up. And when the alarm went off, you have got to be kidding me. Is that time already for me to get up? I'm like, no. I just want to lay here. But I'm up. I'm here. I'm excited, you know, for the discussion for today. And I just want to just thank God for each and every one of you. I want to thank God for Apostle and her obedience when it comes to God's word and what he instructs her to do. And so I just thank God that she is in, you know, in my life. You know, for you all that are on here, some way or fashion, you know, you have connected with her, and she's such a blessing. So to God be the glory for all that he is doing in her life. So I just want to get started. Yes, ma'am. Amen. So I just want to get started in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name, O God. Glory to your name. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Lord. There is none like you, Father. We just give you praise, Lord God, because we are alive. You gave us another chance, Lord God, and we just want to say thank you. Thank you for keeping us overnight. Thank you for protecting us overnight. Thank you, Lord God, for whatever you were doing within us while we were asleep, Father God. I just pray, Lord, that in the coming time, and even before this year ends, Lord God, I pray that your people begin to answer the call to who you called them to be, because it is so rewarding. Some people may be fearful of what God is calling them to do, but when we allow Holy Spirit to take over, when we allow Holy Spirit to go before us and we follow, it's not as scary and as hard as we think it is. Answering the call, Father God, we just thank you for who you called us to be. We thank you that you anointed us to do what you called us to do. You just didn't call us to do something and just left us without knowing how to do it. When you call us to do something, you equip us to do it. You just don't leave us in the wilderness trying to figure out how to do it on our own. And if we find ourselves doing that, then it's not from you. And so, Father God, we just bless your holy, holy, holy name, Father God, and we just thank you for your grace and your mercy over our lives. Even now, Lord God, we thank you, Father God, that you are healing our minds, you're healing our hearts, you're healing our bodies. In the name of Jesus, oh God, you're even healing us that may have experienced some church hurt. Lord, we just thank you right now that you bring healing even to that, Father, even to the point where the hurt was so traumatic that some people have even turned away from following you. And, Lord, I just pray that you just touch and heal their hearts and allow them to see that whatever happened, you are not in the mix of it. And so I just pray that people's hearts begin to heal so that they can come back into your presence, so they won't miss all the things that you have in store for them, because it is a good thing. And so, Father God, we just continue to say thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We love you. We just give you all the glory and honor, for there is none like you, Father. And, Lord, we just look forward to all that you are doing in this season. We look forward, Lord God, to just embracing whatever it is that you're doing. We look forward to new friendships, Lord God, friendships that you have ordained, friendships that you have blessed, in the name of Jesus, God. And we just thank you for all that you are doing. Even if we don't understand it or see it, we thank you in advance, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be
Amen.
Unto God. Praise be unto God. Excuse me. I had the privilege of listening to the show last week. Listening to the show last week, and the show was on unhealthy friendships. Is that it? Tabika?
Yes. What did you say?
Was the show titled Unhealthy Friendships?
Oh, it was on healthy. The title was Healthy Friendships, but it was like a mixture of both.
Of both? Okay.
Unhealthy and
All
healthy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All righty. And, of course, another excellent show. And thank you to Tamika, you know, that shared, you know, her heart, always being transparent. So thank you, mm-hmm. you know, for her input as well. And one of the things I wanted you, for the people that were not here, if you would give us a recap of the show and catch us up on it. So I wanted to mention a couple of things in dealing with the healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy or unhealthy.
Okay. So basically last week we talked about, you know, friendships and what friendships look like and kind of what they don't look, what they're not supposed to look like. And we talked about basically like having boundaries in friendships, having boundaries in, you know, relationships and your marriage. And the majority of what I discussed was about having friends of the opposite sex when you're in a committed relationship and when you're married. You know, how those things, if you don't pay attention to it, or if you're not listening to your mate when your mate is telling you that they don't agree with the friendship that you have with the opposite sex, how that can basically destroy your relationship or your marriage. When we talk about friends of the opposite sex, we know that if you're married or if you're, you know, engaged to be married, and the person that you have this friendship with, if your significant other can't be around that person, or that, you know, you won't allow your significant other to be in the same room or have conversation with this person, basically like your significant other should be that person's friend as well. And then what another no-no is still being friends with people that you used to date. When you're, you know, in a committed relationship, you're engaged or you're married, because you know that that can ultimately open the door to going back to something that you shouldn't be in. And so, you know, that was like the brunt of what was being discussed last week. If your mm-hmm. significant other is uncomfortable with your friendship with that opposite sex, then, you know, you have to make a decision on what's more important. And, you know, some people will say, well, we've been friends since, you know, we were in elementary school and nothing ever happened and we were just best friends. That's like my sister, you know. And those relationships, I understand if that you know, that thin line was never crossed as far as where your relationship went. As far as if there was an emotional tie or if there was mm-hmm. a sexual tie, then those relationships need to be dissolved. But if this person has really been your friend, you look at this person like a sister, but that means that your spouse or significant other should have a friendship with that person, and then that way you guys can be on the same page, you can be in unity. Y'all know each other. You feel comfortable with your mates, you know, friends of the opposite sex. So that just has to be an agreement when it comes to that. It shouldn't be like a you being sneaky things, still being friends with this person, and going behind your spouse's back, still doing stuff for that person. And so, you know, that was basically about what was discussed last week.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. I'm so sorry. I totally agree with that. You know, there are definitely relationships, you know, male-female relationships, opposite-sex relationships that can be had. There are those that can be had, those that are safe relationships, healthy relationships. And those things are things that, you know, we need to look at and need to examine it, you know. Even, you know, when you said I have a friend that I've been friends with for years, okay, we've never crossed the line and so forth. However, there is an emotional bond there, a serious emotional bond. And what's her name? Oh, my goodness, Thomas Farr's wife. She used the terminology that I really loved, and that was emotional adultery. Was that emotional adultery, emotional fornication, emotional whatever? The thing is that you and this quote-unquote friend have given your hearts to one another, and so y'all are emotionally, seriously tied to one another, and there you have your significant other that is not able to be a part of that relationship. You know, that relationship, according to what I'm hearing you say, that is not a healthy relationship, because you know that you're dealing with emotions. You know that you two care for each other and you have a significant other. You know that, and yet this is something that you're not willing to make adjustments with. And no, you know, and I'm not saying, and I heard you say it had to be dissolved, but it has to be put in the place where, you know, like you said, it's not a sneaky relationship. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So if you feel like you have to be sneaky, then you need to ask yourself, is this something that your spouse would agree with? So if you know your spouse is not going to agree with this friendship and you're sneaky, mm-hmm. then right then and there you know that it's not right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And anything can be right. And, you know, excuse me, anything can be right prior to the fact of you making a commitment to somebody. But it's once you're making a commitment to someone and you're attempting to build a sincere relationship out of this, you can't do the same things that you did, you know, prior to developing that relationship. Things are not the same, and mm-hmm. there are boundaries that are set. One moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Yeah, there are boundaries that are set, and that's something that we, you know, we need to deal with. So then what kind of boundaries then
mm-hmm.
do you see a person setting? What kind of boundaries?
So setting boundaries when it comes to relationships, that means that you first discuss. You have that discussion with your friend, your husband, your wife, your significant other, your fiance, whatever. You have a conversation with them, and these conversations should be held in relationships in the very beginning of what you will accept and what you won't accept. And so let's just say that you are a person that doesn't, let me use a realistic one. Let's just say you are a person that, okay, for me, I'll use this. I don't like being put on a spot with certain things. Okay, like for instance, if my husband wants to invite somebody over, or he wants to hang out with somebody, whatever, I don't like being put on a spot where he says it to whomever and then looks at me for approval or for me to agree right then and there. I need him to, you know, talk to me first, and then we decide on what it is that we want to do. And so he would do that a lot, and I've always felt like I was in this position, like, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm on the spot. I have to say yes because, you know, they're looking at me, and so I had to tell him, like, listen, this I don't like that. If it's something that you want to do, invite people over, or hang out, whatever it is, don't ask me in front of the person, because I don't like being put on the spot, especially if it's not something that I want to do at that moment or whatever have you. So I needed to have that conversation with him, because that is a boundary to me. That is a boundary for me. Like, just please just don't do that. You have people that another one, please call me, and I think this goes for a lot of people. Please just don't show up at my house. Please call and let me know that you're coming. And I think that's more of a courtesy thing and respect for people. Like, you just don't show up at people's houses. You call them and let them know that you're on the way, or you call them and ask them, hey, I was in the neighborhood, can I stop by? You know, but we just don't show up at other people's houses unannounced. What do you have any boundaries that you want to share?
And listen, I'm sorry for the noise. I had to step inside of Walmart real quick. Okay. So
okay.
I apologize for the background noise. I need to get some sunglasses. Anyway, now with what you just said about excuse me, everything that you said about the boundaries, I love it when you said about them, you know, asking people in front of you, you know, about the coming over to the house or having dinner together, whatever the case may be, and then making you, you know, you're put on the spot. And it's going to make you the bad guy or the good guy, okay? If you say okay, then you're the good guy. If you, you know, say, well, no, we can't do it, you're the bad guy, you know. And when your spouse agrees to something before consulting you and then tell the people, this was another one of mine things. Somebody asks your spouse something and the spouse agrees to it and then says, well, let me ask my mate. And so, again, that makes the mate heavy, even if the mate is not there. That makes the mate the heavy, because if you say no, then they go back and say, well, look, we can't do it. Something came up, or we already had plans. And they're saying, yeah, right, your wife said no.
Right.
You said yes.
you
said yes to it. And now, you know, and then you say, well, let me ask my mate, and then bam, now the answer is no. So they know that you spoke to her, and she didn't want to do it. You know, so that's something that I know in relationships that it's not good. It's not healthy. It is not healthy at all. Okay. Another thing in dealing with relationships, I don't know if you had mentioned the fact of when you have the his/her relationships. One of the things that, and I don't know, you know, how true this is with everybody, but one of the things that I know that I had been told years ago was the fact that when a man first meets a woman and is starting to develop a relationship with her, that he was physically attracted to the woman to begin with. That was the only reason why he held conversation with her. He was physically attracted to her, and it may never get to the point where that's what happened, but that was the kickoff for him because, you know, men are attracted to us, you know, by the eyes, what they see, and so forth. So there was that attraction first and foremost, and after initial conversations and all, it's decided, you know, this is something that'll stay in the friend zone, so it stays in the friend zone. So if, and this is if the person wasn't just introduced to you by a brother, sister, et cetera. You know, if you walk up to some woman and start talking, that there was a physical attraction there, even though it's not had. And I know on one of the shows I was looking at, this was a group of men talking and a group of men that were saying that even though I have female friends, if my friends would allow it, that they would have intercourse with those friends. And, they would have intercourse with those friends and not looking for a relationship, you know, an intimate relationship, but they would do so. And these are with their female friends. Have you heard anything or anything along those lines? Beloved.
You still there? Oh. Go say that last part again because you kind of went out.
Hello, do you hear me?
I can hear you now. Can you hear us? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Okay, I didn't hear that last part that you said.
Okay, I said that in a group of men, I was looking at the man show on one of those channels, and the men were talking about with their female friends, that even though they had not slept with their female friends, that if given the opportunity, the majority of them said that they would because they were physically attracted to their friends, okay, and that they would do so, but the relationship never went there. But if given the opportunity, they would, and a lot of them won't do so because they don't want to ruin what they have. They don't want to ruin the relationships that they have. But if they felt that the woman could handle them having intercourse with them and continuing on playing basketball together and so forth and so on, they would do it. So I was wondering, had you heard anything along those lines?
Oh, yeah, because basically, like you said, the most of the time men are physically attracted to a woman because, you know, that's just their makeup, I guess. They see the physical of a woman before they hear a woman speak. And so that's what draws men to, and it's not all men, but, you know, you do have the majority of men that determines whether or not they want to say something to a woman, you know, want to be friends with a woman. It's the physical. The physical aspect is prominent, you know. And then even sometimes when they begin to have a friendship with this woman, she may not even be the one that he wants to settle down with, but he'll still go with the flow if it's sexual. And so, like these men said, if given the opportunity, they would sleep with these female friends. They hadn't yet, but the fact that they said, if given the opportunity, they would. And so that's why we're saying having friends of the opposite sex can pose a problem. It can create situations. So it's best that, you know, when you're in a committed relationship or you're married, it's best that both of you have friendships with these people you as a couple make friendships with other couples. So at least Because, you know, even in that, the stuff that people are doing these days, being swingers and all that other mess, we're not even talking about that. We're just saying that when you're in a committed relationship or, you know, or you're married, make friends with then that way, you know, crossing the lines, it's a thing there where you know that you're not going to cross the lines. And so, and then it keeps the argument down in the relationship. About things like things where the woman can see that the man is physically attracted to the woman, and you know she's saying, you know, I see it, because people don't, or men don't believe when women say it's a woman's intuition about things. That we can see things, or spiritually it's discernment, you know, it's certain things that women can pick up on, and we can tell, you know, our man, like, listen, there's something there between you all, and whether you want to admit it or not, I can see it. And so it's making me uncomfortable. So I feel like that you should just let her know that you can't continue. And the thing about it is it's hurting other people. It's hurting someone's feelings. Yes, somebody's feelings is going to be hurt or whatever. Yes, it is. However, if it means that your marriage or your engagement isn't in jeopardy, then just let it go. For me, it's not worth losing your marriage over, or you know, your the person that you're looking to be, you know, committed to for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that I think is awesome is I have male friends. I have male friends, and all of my male friends, and these are people that have been in my life, one of them for at least 25 years, the other 15 years, and excuse me, and both of them know, and I know, that if either one of us get involved in a relationship where there is a significant other, that the things that I am presently doing with my male friends are not things that can continue on if, you know, it can't be done with me and my mate. If it can't be done with me and my mate, my friends understand that, you know, you have to take a step back if a problem. And this is things we actually talked about. And to me, a friend understanding that they don't want to be the problem in your relationship, if that friend is not going to be a friend with your mate, then that friend needs to say, look, I understand, go ahead, you know, do what you got to do, and if you need me, you know that I will always be here, you know, I'm your friend, I will always be here, so you don't have to, be in each other's space all the time, like, you know, me and Apostle Forbes, you know, we've been friends for years, there are times where we may only talk to each other once a year, you know, the same thing with, you know, my sister, friend Teresa, my best friend, friends for years, but there have been times when a couple of years have gone by and we didn't speak to each other, and then as soon as we pick up the phone and call each other, everything picks back up just like we talked yesterday, you know, so you can still have friends and them take their proper place in your relationship. They're either going to be a part of your friend circle with your mate, or they're going to be a friend that you know that, you know, that they would be there for you in case of an emergency, that they would be there and not be offended that you're not talking with them every day, you know. And to me, that's real friendship. That is real friendship.
Yes, because I do have, you know, people that I went to school with. I went to an all-girls high school. And so, you know, the majority of the people that I hung around, they were females. And so I really didn't have male friends that were just friends with no relationship with, you know, attached. The male friends that I had is because I was in a relationship with them. And so, you know, coming into my marriage, I had no male friends. And so that's probably why at this point I have no male friends. And so, you know, I don't even have to worry about any of that. Like, even on my job, they're not, though, it's majority women that work, you know, at my job. There was a male there maybe a few years ago. He was, you know, he was real cool. And, you know, I would go home and talk to Mark about, you know, things that we laughed at work. Basically, like, all of us laughed at work. But there was no after-work conversation, per se. And even now that he's gone, I have his phone number, and I've texted him a few times just to say hi, to see how his kids and his wife is doing, and, you know, sharing pictures of my grandson with him, and, you know, but that's it. It's no, can we go this place, that place? It's no conversation, and, like, none like that. It's none. And so I wouldn't even consider him a friend. I wouldn't consider him a friend. I worked with him. That's my coworker. That's it.
Right.
And so, you know, even the people that I grew up with that we were, you know, young, when we were younger, we hung out all the time. It, you know, I, like you said, it could be a year, month that I haven't talked to them, and then when we get on the phone, we text, we say hi, we see each other now and then, and it's, you know, it's nothing like, you know, it's not an issue. It's not, what kind of friend are you? You haven't called me in such and such amount of months or years, and that's no type of friendship. But it's a thing where people understand each other. And they know that everybody, you know, have lives. They have children. We have children now. You know, we have things that's going on. So it's not taken personally. It's not taken as or looked at as, oh, you dropped the ball. You're not really my friend. And you know, all of that other stuff. And so even in that, I am grateful and thankful.
Amen. 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 Well, saints of God, this is Apostle Etta Banks along with her co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes. We are here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And we are discussing friendship. We are discussing friendship, especially that between the opposite sex when you are involved in a relationship. When you are involved in a relationship. If there's anything that you would like to say, question, comment, whatever the case may be, please press 1 on your keypad and we will bring you into the conversation. Don't be shy. We know that all of us probably have experienced some of this somewhere along the line. And so don't forget, press 1 and come on and tell us what, excuse me. Now, Tabika, let me ask you this, sweetheart. Now, prior to you and your husband getting married, I'm sure he had relationships with other women. You know, he had relationships with other women. Where do those women stand in his life now and in your marriage?
They don't.
Okay.
There are none. So at one point, him working at, you know, Social Security as the, he was a supervisor. So, he had the female camaraderie or whatever there, but again, it wasn't a friendship. There wasn't talking on the phone after work and hanging out after work. It was basically when at work is at work. And when he comes home, he's home. And so even the females that he knew before me, there's none. There's nobody calls him. And somebody might be saying, well, how do you know? Because I know. Like I said, the discernment, the woman's intuition, we know when something's not right. And even if somebody was to call him, at this point, they don't have his new number. He doesn't have the same phone number that he had when we met. And so basically they can't get in touch with him. And so there's no communication from old relationships. So again, when it comes to my marriage and friends of the opposite sex, we're cool. We're cool on that spectrum in relationships. We have the friends that we do have are couples. And so that's where our friendships are, in couples, not in, you know, singles of the opposite sex. Now, if a single in the opposite sex wanted to talk, and let's just say, you know, he ran into somebody from his past or whatever, and she was having an issue, he would immediately, you know, let this person know that he's married, and then if it's something that she really needed to, you know, had an issue with, he would say, hey, well, you can talk to my wife, you know. I'm sure he just wouldn't put himself in that situation for it to look a certain way. Hold on, we have a caller that wishes to speak. Your last four digits are 3454. Good morning. Good morning, Tanika.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm just kind of listening as a single person here who, of course, trying to build friendships, and I'm learning a lot from what you all are saying. I would say that for me, all of the people that I had dated in my past, I had still remained talking to, even when they got married. But I do recall at some point in my life kind of trying to, like, say, like, whoa, it seems like they got married, but they still are trying to hold on to me in some capacity. And then I had to kind of like say, oh, wow, like, I need to shut the door. I didn't recognize that at first. It's just kind of like we've always been friends, and we'll stay friends because I've known them forever. Nowadays, when I try to meet, when I meet people, like I just met a neighbor, a guy who's a neighbor, and he mentioned that he has a wife and two children. You know, I asked him if at some point I could meet his wife, you know, and he shared his wife's cell phone number. He's so friendly, but I recognized as a single person that really the way for me to be able to engage my new neighbors would be to make sure that I go through his wife. There's a lot of trial and error trying to figure out the right ways to maneuver meeting new friends that are married and making sure that I keep things aligned as it relates to a married male figure. Again, in my past, I thought we could definitely just have friendship, but it seems like a really just a slippery slope. I just wanted to share.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, thank you for sharing it. And I wanted to say that you did the right thing. You know, you met your neighbor, a male. He's married, has children, and you did the right thing. You asked for his wife's phone number. So, and you know, and most of the time, people probably wouldn't even have thought to even ask for the wife's phone number. And that speaks a lot on your behalf. You know what I mean? Because,
right.
like, You know what I mean? Because, like, you straight off the, well, what's your wife's number? You know, let me connect with her, and then I connect, you know, we can then, we're neighbors. Maybe when we have cookouts or whatever, you can invite me over. I can invite you. The friendship should be with the wife because, you know, he's married. So the friendship should be with the wife. And, you know, as far as you saying, you know, the friendship that you had in the past, you realized that they got married and they were trying to hold on to you. And that's in some cases, men will try to hold on to people from their past just in case the marriage doesn't work out. You know, they have somebody to reach back out to. So that's about, but I would say don't be a participant. Apostle?
Yes, I chuckled at that because I remember, oh my gosh, I remember years ago, and I thank God for growing up and maturing in him. But one of the things I used to tell people all the time, that even when you get married, oh, Lord, help me, forgive me for what I used to do. But even when you get married, you know, don't give up your friends because you'll find out that your friends will last longer than your marriage will. You know, and because, you know, everybody divorce. And I had friends, you know, male friends, and that I didn't give up. But I was blessed. I'm telling you, I was blessed. In my first marriage, you know, the male friends that I had, my husband allowed me, you know, to do things with them that he did not like to do. Like, I wanted to learn how to play tennis. So one of my male friends was a tennis pro. And so I would go to the tennis court and he and I would play tennis. My husband wouldn't be around and, you know, and he was fine with that and he was okay. There was another male friend I had that rode motorcycles all the time. I love motorcycles. So he would take me out on his motorcycle. Now, again, mind you, folks, so that you'll know, this was 40-something years ago, okay? But he would take me out on his motorcycle, and he would come to the house. You know, my husband knew, well, he's my ex-husband now, but he met my friends, he knew them, and he was okay with me having those relationships with them. And, you know, today, that's something that I would be very, what's the word, I wouldn't do as easily as I did then. I was young, dumb, and foolish, okay? I was young. I wouldn't do that as easily now. If I'm in a relationship and the man that I'm in a relationship with, again, you know, doesn't like my friend or is uncomfortable or just the way we have our women's intuition, men will say, well, I know men and I know how they are, and yeah, he may just want to say, and he's playing tennis with you, but he's got ulterior motives and so forth and so on. You know, you have to take all of that into consideration. Just the way we want them to listen to us when we tell them about the women in their lives, we need to listen to them when they speak about the men in their lives. But I remember when I used to say, hey, keep your friends because you don't know how long your marriage is going to last. Now it's, look, you've made a covenant. You know, till death do you part. So you go into this with the fact that this marriage is going to last forever. And no matter what it is that comes up that would interfere in that marriage, you know, you and your partner need to discuss that. You need to do whatever you can to rectify it. And folks that are good friends, like I say, will step back and sit on the back burner and let you do what you need to do. I commend Tamika was saying to her neighbor, you know, may I have your wife's number? I'd like to meet her and so forth. I commend her tremendously because you don't find people doing that. Some man approaches me on the street and we're talking, or whether it's on the street or at church or anywhere, and we're talking, you know, and even if if I were married or if I'm engaged, whatever the case may be, you don't find them asking for your mate's number, you know, so they can communicate with your mate. You know, they're just talking to you. I have found out that even as a pastor, of course I got men and women in my church, and there was, let's take Elder West. Elder West, before he got married, he was the elder of our church. You know, when I wanted him for anything, you know, I called him directly, and he did whatever it was I needed him to do. After he got married, I have to take in consideration now he is a married man. I can't call him anytime, day or night, you know, and say, and I want you to do this, that, and the other, and expect him to drop everything and come to my assistance the way I did when he was single. And I do my very best that when I am texting him, I text him and his wife, or I call his wife and say, you know, I want your husband to do this, that, and the other. Is he around? May I talk to him? Whatever the case may be. But I include his wife in on any conversations that we have, whether it's via text or oral verbal. Yeah, I include the wife in on the conversations because I don't want it being said that I'm talking to some woman's husband behind her back. You know, so we just, this whole thing, man, and this is not friendship. This is dealing with with ministry and being the leader, the shepherd, and someone that, excuse me, that is submissive to my authority. I, as a single woman, have to take in consideration that the majority of the people in my church are married, and that no matter what, no matter how holy we say that we are, no matter how holy, the enemy is forever trying to stick his head up in something and cause confusion about some things. And so we must handle it properly. We must handle it properly. You know, so as a leader, I don't want to, you know, do anything behind the wives' back. Tabika, how many times have I texted you to find out, is your husband available?
Yeah.
You know, is he available? May I speak with him? You know, I very seldom go to Mark directly. And I know that I can. I know the relationship that I have with them. I know I can do so. You know, they trust me and I trust them. So I know that I can do so. But I do ask her, you know, is your husband awake? Is he home? Is it okay for this, that, and the other, whatever the case may be? And prior to him going to work, if I needed him during the day while his wife is at work, you know, I would tell her, you know, I'm asking Mark to do blase, blase, and then I would get a hold of Mark and ask him, could he do whatever it is I'm asking him to do? But we have to be very careful and keeping relationships healthy. Keeping the enemy out of it. Don't give him any room to play. Don't give him anything where we can be tempted one of the other. You know, just be very mindful and very careful. That's what I wanted to add there, honey. Thank you.
Amen. You're welcome. One big question I wanted to ask you, Apostle, when you were talking about your husband your ex-husband allowing you to, you know, do whatever with your male friends. Was there any attraction between you and these male friends?
Oh, no, none at all.
Okay. All right. So, that was easy on your end because you didn't have, there was no physical attraction. So it was basically what you set out to do. You wanted to learn to play tennis. The guy taught you how to play tennis, and that was it.
That's it. I think if either one of them had, you know, made it known to me, if either one of them had made it known to me that they were attracted to me and wanted to have a relationship outside of what it is that we were doing, I probably would have ran scared. I probably would. I'm a very friendly person. I'm very easy to be friends with, very easy to be friends with. Also, my vocabulary, I'm a honey, sweetie, baby person. I call people mm-hmm. those affectionate names. Some of it is because I have difficulty remembering names, okay? So mm-hmm. it's just easy to say, hi, honey, how are you? Because I have difficulty remembering names. Others is the fact that I am a loving, affectionate person. And so I will say that to you, and that's it. And I remember my pastor had to tell the church from the pulpit, that, you know, she had received a complaint from one of the women in the church, you know, that I was, you know, calling her husband honey and sweetie and all of this stuff, and she didn't appreciate it and so forth and so on. And my pastor made an announcement from the pulpit, and at that time I was Evangelist Banks. Evangelist Banks, those of you that have been here long enough, you know Evangelist Banks. You know that she's a woman of integrity, she has good character, so forth and so on. All of you also know that she says, honey, sweetie, baby, to you, your husband or wife, your children, and if you bring your dog in her presence, she probably will call your dog honey. You know, that's how she talks. She means nothing about it whatsoever. She means nothing about it. You know, so don't get, you know, all caught up in that. However, now, so she said that to stand by me. And remember, oh, this was in another class that I had to do that. Remember when we talk about a person's character and their integrity, like if somebody came to you, Tabika, and said something negative about me, you know me. And with mm-hmm. confidence, you can say, that's not apostle. I know her. Mm-hmm. She doesn't do blase, blase. And that's what my pastor was doing. I know Evangelist Banks. She is not coming on to your husband. What does she call you? Doesn't she call you honey and sweetie and baby? Mm-hmm. And the woman had to say yes. You know, she does. So take it as for what it's worth. And I appreciated her standing up for me. I really do. However, it made me curtail how I say it. I guess how often I say that to people, it made me mm-hmm. be more careful of it. And then as I grew more and more in the Lord, I thank him so much that when he called me his beloved or beloved, he called me that in conversation that he and I was having. And then as I read it in the Bible that Jesus spoke of others and they were beloved or my beloved, and the Song of Solomon, my beloved, and beloved is the one loved of God, someone that is loved of God. And so now, y'all, you will hear me saying beloved, beloved, beloved before you hear me saying to people, honey, sweetie, baby. I call people beloved, and that keeps me in mind that this person is loved of God. Whether they know it or not, they are loved of God. And so it is a prophetic word even that I am speaking into their life. You are loved of God. And that helped to erase a lot of the honey, sweetie, baby, darling. So now you hear me saying, beloved. And not only do I say it, my congregation, haven't y'all taken up the word, baby?
Yes, ma'am, we sure have.
Yep. I'm telling you, almost every last one of you, I hear y'all saying, hi, beloved. Hi, beloved. Mm-hmm. And I say, listen to them. That's right. So it alleviates a lot of stuff. So thank you for asking. And that was a good question.
Thank you. Oh, when I asked you, was there any attraction between you and these male friends?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question
no
that
attraction.
I asked you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Yep,
well, look at that. The time has come upon us again. It seems to come upon us so fast. Wow. But,
yes.
You know, I just thank God for just the time that we get to spend together on Saturday mornings and, you know, ministering to some people, helping some people through some things and, you know, people getting to share. And so thank you, Tamika, again for sharing. We truly appreciate it. And thank you all for, you know, being with us again and just listening to us share about unhealthy or healthy friendships. So everyone, please enjoy the rest of your weekend. Make sure you do something productive, even if it, you just sit outside on a porch, because, you know, us that are in the working world, the weekends go so fast for us that, you know, it's like, wow, you know, I just got off of work and it's Monday already. So I'm going to enjoy the rest of my weekend with my godson and my husband. And so I want you guys to have an awesome weekend as well. And until we meet back here again next Saturday, be blessed and we love you.
Amen. God bless everyone.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.